Good morning and a very warm welcome to our online church service at Newport-on-Tay. This is the fourth Sunday in Lent and is known as Lectare Sunday, traditionally a day of celebration in the midst of Lent. In the United Kingdom, it also coincides with Mothering Sunday, a day when we celebrate mothers and in particular their maternal influences in our lives. I have two short intimations this morning. The first is to remind members of the Kirk session of our next Zoom meeting this coming Wednesday, the 17th of March at 7:30. The agenda, minutes and joining instructions have already been distributed. And the second is to inform the congregation that whilst the Scottish Government has indicated that places of worship may be allowed to open ahead of our normal Holy Week and Easter celebrations, a final decision is awaited from the First Minister on Tuesday, the 23rd of March. We will therefore keep you informed of all decisions and dates concerning the reopening of our church here in Newport. In the words of the church's national worship team, we may not all be gathered in the same building, but at this time, when we need each other so much, we are invited to worship together from where we are, knowing that God can hear us all and can blend even distant voices into one song of worship. So let us begin to worship together as we heed our call to worship. Psalm 122. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be with you. For the sake of the house of our Lord, I will seek your prosperity. Amen. The words of our first hymn this morning were written by the Free Church of Scotland minister, Walter Chalmers Smith, in 1867. Immortal, invisible, God only wise.
Oh, my sweet victorious. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, accept our repentance, the repentance of us, your servants, whose lives are not in accordance with our faith. May we begin again through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Gracious Father, we give you thanks for your love and care over our lives. We thank you most especially that you've invited us to be in your presence this morning to worship and to glorify your most high name. We come and take our burdens away from us and give us the rest that only you can give. We thank you, O Father, for our congregation here in Newport on Tay. God, our Heavenly Father, we have not loved you with all our heart and with all our soul, nor with all our strength and with all our mind. We looked only for our own advancement and neglected our neighbor. Take away from us, O God, our sins which separate us from you, that with pure hearts and cleansed lips we may come before you and celebrate this service joyfully and praise your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will now sing our next hymn.
Above all powers, above all keys, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what your word. Crucified, lay behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took
powers.
Above all powers, above all keys, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all keys,
First reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 to 7, and then verses 13 to 15, and then 31 to 35. Exodus, chapter 16. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites in the evening, "You will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt." So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come." As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna in front of the testimony that it might be kept. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of St. John, and it's chapter 6, verse 22 to 29. John 6, 22 to 29. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the work God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. And our next hymn is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray you grant us your grace so that our meditations on the sacrifice of our Redeemer may be fruitful to us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that Christ can give. That was the message of Jesus Christ to the crowd that was looking for him. The crowd had spent a long time on the far side of the lake because they thought the disciples had gone off without Jesus. And after waiting for some time, they suspected Jesus was not around. And so they took some little boats that came from Tiberias and crossed over back to Capernaum. Discovering to their surprise that Jesus was already there, they asked him when he had arrived. But Jesus Christ did not reply to that question. He did not reply because there was no time to engage subjects like that. Life was too short for pleasant gossips about journeys and why people were making journeys. The things of this earthly life were fading away from his mind, and his face was set towards the cross of salvation. So Jesus Christ went straight to the heart of the matter. "You have seen," he said, "wonderful things, even amazing things during my time with you. You have seen how God's grace enabled a crowd to be fed. Your thoughts ought to have been turned to God who did these things, but instead, all that you are thinking about is bread." It is as if Jesus Christ said to these people, "Look around you and all the beautiful things you enjoy. And even though you are enjoying them, you would someday leave them behind. Instead of thinking of the one who gives them to you and who can give you another life beyond this one, you are only looking and thinking of having more and satisfying your physical desires. You cannot think about your souls, but only about your stomachs." The great Chrysostom will reply to that by saying, "People are nailed to the things of this life." Here were people whose eyes never lifted beyond the vanities of the world to the eternities beyond. These people were interested only in physical satisfaction. They had received an unexpectedly free and lavish meal, and they wanted more. Jesus Christ replied, "I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you." Well, friends, it is all but too easy for us to point fingers and criticize the Jews for their interest in the Son of Man for material gains and not for eternal things. But there is warning here for more than the Jews. There are many Christian people, especially in the global South, who are flooding churches because they are looking for material riches. They have been told by their pastors that materialism and amassing as much wealth as possible resonates with biblical principles in what is called the prosperity gospel. They are in the church not because they are grateful for the saving grace of God in Christ and in order to prepare for the eternal reward that Christ promises, but because they have been deceived by the devil that the church would make them rich. Dear friend, what are you seeking for in the church? And how are you dealing with your quest for material things vis-a-vis the nourishment of your soul to eternal life? Jesus Christ urged his followers not to work for the food which perishes, but for that which lasts forever and gives eternal life. There are two kinds of hunger. There is the physical hunger which physical food can satisfy, but there is a spiritual hunger which that food can never satisfy. Now, friends, I am not arguing that material things are not necessary. Of course, we need bread to sustain our physical bodies. We need good houses to live in, even if many of them are not homes. We need good cars to carry us around, and we need other necessities of life for nourishment and for the good life that I too enjoy very much. But any feverish preoccupation with material things won't do, because they never give us permanent satisfaction or wholeness. I read not long ago about Howard Hughes. He was known during his lifetime as one of the most financially successful individuals in the world. All he ever really wanted in life was more. He wanted more money, so he piled inherited wealth into a billion-dollar pile of assets. He wanted more fame, so he broke into the Hollywood scene and soon became a filmmaker and a star. He wanted more sensual pleasure, so he paid handsome sums to indulge his every sexual urge. He wanted more thrills, so he designed, built, and piloted the fastest aircraft in the world. He wanted more power, so he secretly dealt political favors so skillfully that two US presidents became his pawns. All he ever wanted was more. He was absolutely convinced that more would bring him true satisfaction. Unfortunately, history shows otherwise. He concluded his life emaciated, colorless, sunken chest, fingernails in grotesque, inches long corkscrews, rotting black teeth, tumors, innumerable needle marks from his drug addiction. Howard Hughes died believing the myth of more. He died a billionaire junkie, insane by all reasonable standards. My dear friend, was the prophet Isaiah not insightful when he asked that poignant question, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" We may even feel satisfied with the physical things of life, but there are other hungers which can be satisfied only by Christ. There is the hunger for truth. In him alone is the truth of God. There is the hunger for life. In him alone is abundant life. There is the hunger for love. In him alone is the love that outlasts sin and death. Christ alone can satisfy the hunger of the human heart and soul. C.S. Lewis estimated that if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. I think Lewis was right. Or was he not? Thinking of the fullness and duration of this wonderful life, W.B. Hinson, a great preacher of a past generation, spoke from his own experience just before he died. He said, "I remember a year ago when a doctor told me, 'You have an illness from which you won't recover.' I walked out to where I live, 5 miles from Portland, Oregon, and I looked across that mountain that I love. I looked at the river in which I rejoice, and I looked at the stately trees that are always God's own poetry to my soul. Then in the evening, I looked up into the great sky where God was lighting his lamps, and I said, I may not see you many more times, but mountain, I shall be alive when you are gone. And river, I shall be alive when you cease running towards the sea. And stars, I shall be alive when you have fallen from your sockets in the great downpouring of the material universe. Friend, that is the language of people who have learned that lesson from Jesus Christ, namely, not to be so concerned about perishable things, but seeking the eternal life that Christ can give. There is a hunger in the human heart which none but Christ can satisfy. There is a thirst which none but he can quench. There is an inner emptiness which only he can fill. Friend, would you spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son can give through simplicity of lifestyle, through selfless service to others, in worship and thanksgiving in the church and in the home, in forgiving one another, and in seeking the truth and living the truth that is found in Christ. Temporal things must be treated as temporal things, received, given thanks for, offered back, but enjoyed. Let us pray. Father, please, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts for all that you've done for us, and we thank you for speaking to us through the message of your holy word. We thank you, O God, for providing our needs. Help us to spend wisely and not excessively. Break the bondage of conspicuous consumption over our lives and nations of the world. Help us to be better stewards of the resources you have blessed us with. Holy Spirit, please help us to be more disciplined with our lifestyles, to learn to be content with what we have instead of always wanting more. Forgive us for greed, for selfish ambition, for idolatry, and even for arrogance. Forgive us for loving things and placing them over you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness.
Let us bring before God our prayers of dedication and intercession. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We return to your offering today, and with it we worship you and give our whole selves to your service. Please take these monies and use them for your kingdom and to your glory. Extend and multiply their reach and influence, we pray. May they be a great blessing to many. We ask all this in the powerful name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our prayers of intercession, our bidding for this prayer is God of love, and the collective response is hear our prayer. God of love, hear our prayer. Let us pray. On this Mothering Sunday, Lord, we give you thanks for our mothers and all those who have cared for us from birth through childhood, the challenging teenage years, before lovingly releasing us into adulthood, for their continued nurture, patience, compassion, and above all, the unconditional and selfless love displayed in your image. We pray for new mums, mums who struggle to bring children up in these uncertain times, those crippled by economic hardship and homelessness, for mums in war zones where safety and protection are not a constant, for mums displaced by ethnic cleansing who struggle in overcrowded refugee camps, and for mums in famine-ravaged states who are helpless to save their starving and weakened offspring, rendering them susceptible to illness and ultimately death. We pray for all mums who have lost children or have been unable to look after their own. And we give thanks for those who have stepped in to take on the role of a mother, be it grandparents, fathers, friends, stepfamilies, or through the fostering and adoption agencies. Father God, we remember that as we celebrate Mothering Sunday today, there are those who do not share our happiness, those who are sick, those who are sad, those who are lonely, those who are separated from their families, and those who live in families where there is little mutual support and shared joy. Father, we pray for all mothers who have passed on to glory and now reside with the saints in your heavenly kingdom. And we thank you especially for the gift of memory and the ability to recall that special mother-child relationship and the many fond experiences shared over the years. And we thank you, Lord, for all women throughout history who have stood up for each other, for minorities that have been discriminated against for any reason and have not had equal opportunities or a voice to highlight their plight. We share their vision for a fairer world. God of love, hear our prayer. O God, creator of all that is, we thank you for the provision of our planet Earth, which, like a mother, has nurtured and sustained our every need. Yet, like the rebellious child, we have not always heeded your command to look after it, but instead have caused the pollution of the air, the land, and the seas, induced global warming, and brought about the destruction of valuable habitat, endangering species, driving many to extinction. Where we have degraded or destroyed earth's bounty, forgive us, Lord. Where greed and gain have prevailed over harmony and equity, have mercy upon us. Where we have become estranged from the creatures with whom we share this planet, reward our attempts to reintroduce each species and re-establish a sustainable biodiversity. We pray for all those who are lonely and struggling during the ensuing pandemic. We pray for those who are known to us to be ill or fighting with illness, who are injured and struggling to recover, those in care homes or requiring extra support. We give thanks for the healing provided by the doctors, nurses and carers who work so tirelessly to aid recovery and promote well-being. In this uncertain and stressful time, we pray for all those striving to see a light in a world full of darkness, wherever there is pain and suffering, whether physical, emotional, mental or spiritual, we pray, Lord, for your fulsome healing. We pray for love, friendships and communities to bond and support the lonely, the lost and the homeless. We acknowledge the skills of the medical scientists and lift the continued rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine to you, that in the coming months, freedoms might be regained, families reunited, churches reopened, and life return to a new normality. We pray for people whose hearts have been saddened by the death of someone close and dear to them, for members of our families who have died and whose anniversary we recall. Help us to experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit within us and the fellowship of the church family around us until we are reunited once more in your heavenly kingdom. God of love, hear our prayer. Father, you know both our gifts as a congregation and the needs of those in this parish. Guide our ministry in this place. We ask you to bless our minister Amos, to grant him wisdom and discernment in both his preaching and pastoral duties, and to strengthen his vision for our church. Father, we ask that you guide the discussions and decisions that will ultimately determine our future role within the North Fife Cluster. And whatever the outcome, may we continue to embrace new technology and further opportunities to extend our witness and respond to your call for outreach and mission in this place. Father, heal our nation and all the nations of what is in the past and still corrodes the present, so that we may build on solid new foundations and learn to govern ourselves with honesty, showing respect for one another and sensitivity towards each other's needs. We pray that leaders and governments and the laws they pass are directed towards the creation of just and peaceful societies where everyone is welcome, differences are tolerated, and all are loved and respected. Father, we pray for all the areas of your world which are torn apart by hatred and violence, famine, disease, or religious differences. We pray for an end to war and a deeper commitment to lasting peace. We ask for your intervention in Syria, the Yemen, Myanmar, and the Cameroon. Lord, may your truth be seen in motives, your love expressed in actions, and your vision of peace and resolution manifest in every conflict. God of love, hear our prayer. Lord God, we give thanks for our families, our neighbours and friends, for the happiness of human loving and sharing. And we pray for the homes and families of this parish, whose hopes and struggles, sorrows and fears are already known to you. May each household be blessed, we pray, and may your love fill each life. Father, renew our commitment to reflect your love in all our relationships, at work and in our community. In the hard choices, give us wisdom. In the painful decisions, affirm our responses. And may our words speak your truth when we encourage, comfort, or challenge those we encounter in our daily lives. Heavenly Father, in a moment of silence, we bring before you our own personal concerns and our petitions for others. Holy God, we bring to you in love these people mentioned in the stillness of our hearts. Pour your loving strength into their lives and protect them from all that is harmful. Heavenly Father, your faithful care has brought us safely to this moment. Continue to bless each one of us through your perfect love, grace, and protection. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our worship as we sing, "A Wonderful Saviour is Jesus My Lord."
Thank you.
Let us now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We will bring our service to its close as we sing, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.